The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Social media gossip. It is destroying the church and it has to stop.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming to you from our great studio at Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. Same number as always to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. There we are. I'm looking at our feed, which I normally don't over on our YouTube channel, just a few seconds behind our live feed here. Great to have you with us. We are going to talk about a very important and volatile subject, a crucial subject, something that I cannot overemphasize in terms of the importance of this subject. And I want to stand today, friends, as a watchman on the wall, as a father, as an elder. I want to shout out as loudly as I can, we must watch our words. We must guard our tongues. We must do a better job of what we post and what we say. There is unbelievable amount of misunderstanding of many and very important issues. And we so freely post things we probably wouldn't ever say them face to face with others. But remarkably, the amount of division, the amount of speculation, the amount of misinformation, the amount of plain out judgmental attitudes being posted, words being posted without knowing facts and information, it is absolutely devastating to the health and well-being of the body. It is worse than cancer in the body. This is a cancer in the spirit and a cancer in the church. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll be as clear as I can. 866-34-TRUTH, you will get to weigh in at a certain point in time in the broadcast. All right, and our YouTube feed, hopefully we're adjusting the volume there to make sure everybody can hear loudly and clearly. Okay, some years ago, the son of Rick Warren, one of the best-known pastors in America, committed suicide. That's a tough enough loss. Like most everyone listening, I've never had to come anywhere near that in terms of an immediate family member, let alone a child committing suicide. Those of you who have a child committed suicide, a grandchild, or parent, or sibling, you know the devastation. I can't imagine. But what was absolutely shocking, mind-boggling, was to see these vicious posts. Well, you see, Rick Warren, that proves he's a heretic, a false teacher. Well, if he didn't do a right job, the problem was his son was a repressed homosexual because his father's teaching, and that's why he killed himself. It's like, what? And these are alleged Christians. These are alleged Christians posting this. This was years ago. I remember exact year when this happened. This was years ago, and I posted a plea. What are we doing? There are so many admonitions in Scripture about walking in love, about speaking words of love, about honor and words against gossip and the destructive nature of this. I thought, what on earth are we doing? It's mind-boggling. Let me show you how ugly it is. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Proverbs 6, 16. And it says this: there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. That word for hates is the same word that's used in Leviticus 18:22, speaking of a man lying with a man. It's toeva. It's detestable. It's something hateful in God's sight. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Well, you may have an opinion, but if you don't know the facts, and you post, you may be posting a lie. And if you know the facts and post something contrary, that's blatantly a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to run into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community, stirs up dissension among brothers and sisters. This is something God hates. Well, Brown, you're not going to muzzle me. I'm going to say what I want to say. Well, not if you're a servant of God. None of us get to say whatever we're going to say if we're servants of God. None of us just get to air our own opinion. You know, what's it? Proverbs says repeatedly, a fool takes delight in airing his own opinion. It is over and over and over. Read through Proverbs. That is a characteristic of a morally bankrupt person. The fool, Evil, in other words, in Proverbs, the Evil. This person is not someone who is mentally deficient. This person is morally bankrupt. And what is one of their characteristics? They take delight in airing their own opinions. You say, well, what's wrong with having an opinion? Okay, if we're talking about who's going to win the game tonight, two teams are playing, who's going to win the game tonight? I have an opinion. Okay, but what do you think the outcome of the war in Israel is going to be? What's going to be the outcome of the 2024 elections? Well, I have an opinion. Okay, well, we speculate. That's fine. There's nothing evil about that necessarily. But what is evil is, what's your opinion on this church dispute? And you have no actual factual knowledge of what's going on. You do not know. Well, I think this one did that. I think that. Zip it. We've got no business doing that. Tell you what, I'm going to do it about you. That's what I'm going to do because I got a nice platform. I got big social media followings. I mean, not big like some famous actor or something like that. You know, we reach millions of people, right? So I've got a good social media following and we've got live radio show and internet feed. And I'm just going to share my opinion about you, right? You know, whoever, John Doe, right? I hope that John Doe, you're not actually listening, right? So John Doe, I'm going to share my, I think John Doe's lazy. I think John Doe's got ulterior motives in what he does. I think John Doe's covering stuff. Who cares about what you think? Keep it to yourself. If you have a concern, pray for the person. All right? If you have an opinion that brings you to a concern, pray for the person. If you know them, reach out to them and say, hey, I've got this concern. Otherwise, what business do we have posting our opinions? So here's why I'm freshly concerned and freshly stirred today. I got a call on Thursday night from leadership at IHOP KC, International House of Prayer, Kansas City. They've been embroiled in massive controversy since accusations were brought forward. And there was a process that should have been followed, that things were dealt with internally and privately, and then other parties brought in as needed. But for various reasons, everything went public. Okay, that's just what happened. However it happened, it happened. We can't take that back. So by Saturday afternoon, it's all over the internet and social media exploding. So I did a show on Monday about it from a pastoral perspective, grieving, weeping if the charges were true, hoping they're not, but I don't know. I didn't know and I don't know, all right? So what happens is I do the broadcast on Monday. I write an article trying to be as pastoral as I can. Not air my opinion, but say, here's how we handle this. Here's how we process this as a body. And then let's try to work forward together. And in the meantime, let's not speculate because we simply do not know facts. Look, you even have when you're reporting and you've got someone running out of the bank with money in their hand and they're arrested, that is the alleged bank robber because you still have to actually have the case. It's still innocent to proven guilty. So you have alleged charges. They may all be true. Some may be true. None may be true. I don't know. God and the people involved know. So let everything go through its proper process. And how do we handle this together as a body, etc.? So I get a call Thursday night from leaders there asking if I would come in as an outside voice, speak to their leadership team, give whatever input I can, and preach at both services Sunday morning. So I knew it was the Lord's will to do it. I do not look for these situations. I do not ask for these situations. But for whatever degree I have respect among different camps in the body, I said, okay, absolutely. I hate having to do it in a situation like this, but there's no place I'd rather be than seeking to be of help with my brothers and sisters, precious brothers and sisters there in Kansas City. So I met with leaders, spent hours together Saturday late afternoon and evening, and then we all agreed on the path forward. They had already brought in, before I got there, before I said a word to them, they had already agreed to bring in an external party with the sole goal of investigating the charges to see what's true or not. In other words, give those that were claiming to be victims, give them a safe place where they could go and share and things could be looked into, and an outside organization could do their best to examine the charges, hear from the parties involved, hear from Mike, hear from everyone involved, and then let their findings be known publicly. That's the whole goal. That's the whole goal. And I was going to preach Sunday morning and bring a message to try to help, to try to bring clarity. And we received many, many positive reports to that, for which I'm very, very grateful. I do this in the fear of the Lord. But Pastor Isaac Bennett, pastor of the local church, their forerunner, says to his people, stay off social media. But what did he mean? First thing is, if you go there, you're going to get riled. You're going to see someone attacking this one, someone defending this one, someone saying this, someone that. It's not accurate. You know, I mean, I just right before the show started, I normally don't have our YouTube feed up, but just before the show started, I had it up, and I saw someone completely idiotic comment, just a completely ridiculous comment, totally false. I mean, I see it, I get annoyed because it's just a ridiculous false comment. Well, when you got a volatile situation like this, everybody gets, so sometimes it's good to step back. So he was saying, hey, stay off social media. Just encouraging them as a pastor, or you're going to get all worked up. Whereas right now, the best thing we could do is love Jesus, love one another, and pray for the truth to come to the light. Pray for everything to be known. Pray for a righteous and godly resolution to this, and for God to bring something good out of this very, very difficult and painful situation. That, you know, that's what we pray for. Those who have been hurt, if there are real victims, that they would receive everything they need to be whole. If there are real things done that were wrong, that would be flushed out and dealt with properly. If there are false allegations, that would be flushed out. Let the truth come to light. And somehow, as a body, let's come together. It's not this one versus this one. It's us against the devil. It's us against the devil, all right? So the bottom line here, very, very simple, is this. I got up as well, and I said, we don't need your opinions. You've been posting this, defending this one, defending Mike, attacking Mike, giving your scenario, what's happening, who's hiding what. I said, zip it. We don't need it. Zip it. Well, you preach your message, and you're telling us that. Well, first, I don't have any authority over you. I'm not your Lord. I'm not your boss. I have no authority over you. That's number one. Number two, I'm not coming up here giving an opinion. I'm trying to help this in a pastoral way. But the responses, the social media responses have been mind-boggling. Talk about fighting the devil. We don't need to fight the devil because we're destroying ourselves. We'll be right back.
Are you wanting to ensure the best way your body can fight off infections, viruses, and health-robbing pathogens? Discover the power of high levels of vitamin D. The medical community, since 2020, has been shocked into realizing just how crucial vitamin D is in supporting immune function. This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness, with this very important health message. The immune system is your miraculous, God-given and designed system you were born with. It is responsible for identifying bacteria, viruses, and parasites that can cause infections and disease. In fact, medical science is now associating low levels of vitamin D with the most serious health conditions of today. And how widespread is vitamin D deficiency? Nearly half of the adults in America are vitamin D deficient. Common symptoms of low vitamin D are fatigue, mood swings, joint pain, muscle weakness, hair loss, and yes, even bone loss. If you're serious about immune health, get your vitamin D level above 50, and yes, higher is better. I encourage you to purchase Tryvita's Essential D3. The soft gel is easy to swallow, and it absorbs well. Don't put yourself in harm's way with vitamin D deficiency. Daily, boost your immune system with Tryvita's Essential D3.
Essential D is formulated with 5,000 international units of vitamin D. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at tryvita.com. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at tryvita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Kirsten, just looking at your comment, 100% true. 100% true. Definitely one way to hand the devil the victory on a silver platter, fighting each other on the internet. We don't need to worry about the devil's attacks. We're taking each other out. Paul warns against it in Galatians 5. If you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you're consumed by one another. Wow. Just amazing. When you're trying to silence the victims, what? There is a process for all those who have accusations, whether it's two people or 10 people. There is a process by which they can go to the organization in question that all is being set in motion, and they can bring their concerns directly. What does somebody airing an opinion, if you have a legitimate issue that someone, you claim a minister of the gospel, has sexually abused you, you get on the internet and say, oh, no, there's a process. You go and handle that process. Otherwise, what's to stop anybody from lying about anything, posting about anything, having an allegation? Well, I had a dream, and in my dream, I saw that this actually happened. You're going to go to the police. Say, well, I had a dream that somebody did something to me. Well, why are you actually here? Are you reporting a crime? Well, I think I'll just share it on internet. This is the most non-productive, hurtful, foolish endeavor that we can have. We are tearing each other up with our words. Well, you're trying to control the conversation. No, I'm saying on my social media pages, you're not going to post gossip. You're not going to post your opinion about something being handled with a certain process where you have no idea about the process. Well, this law firm, they've been hired to defend IHOP. You don't know that. Everything I've been told 100 times over is they have been hired so that as an external party, they can see which charges are accurate to the best of their knowledge so that there can be a proper procedure carried out. So if there are real victims, that these real victims can really get a clear hearing with people who are verified as best as can be done. That's why it's being done. Well, they've been hired for PR, damage control. False. Lie. Well, Dr. Brown, you were told what to say in the message. False. Lie. They didn't even know what I was going to say. If they said you have to say this, I wouldn't be there. They didn't ask me what I was going to say. They didn't ask me how I was going to say it. They didn't give me any parameters except here's the general time frame. That's a fact. So I know for a fact, as someone who spent hours and hours with leadership, I know for a fact that falsehoods are being posted. And I have spoken to people who are working with accusers just as of today, people that I know to be fine brothers. One I spoke to today, to my knowledge, is a really good, solid brother. He feels very, very grieved over what's happening and is very, very concerned. I've spoken to others within the leadership that on other sides, and I want everyone to have their opportunity to bring all the information. I'm calling for fairness and for everything to come to the light and for neither side to discredit the other. Those that I know that I've talked to on, quote, either side are honorable people, to my knowledge. And I'm not attributing any wrong motive. God knows, but I'm not attributing any wrong motive. In fact, let me show you what the word says about motives. I was going to go here later in the broadcast, but let me go here now. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There is a right judgment and there is a wrong judgment. Okay. So, for example, 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says the spiritual man makes judgments about everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we are to judge those in our own midst, meaning someone is blatantly practicing sin, they refuse to repent, you excommunicate them. 1 Corinthians 6, we're to make judgments within the body on disputable matters. 1 Corinthians 11, we are to judge ourselves so we're not condemned with the world. So there are all kinds of judgments we're called to make. John 7:24, stop judging by mere outward appearance, but make righteous judgments. So there are judgments we're to make and judgments we're not to make. But look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, beginning verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. So later he says, judge yourself, meaning, look for sin, look for uncleanness, look for things wrong in your own life. Examine yourself before you partake of the Lord's Supper. Do all that, right? Here he says, I don't even judge myself, meaning I'm not going to say I'm a fine servant of the Lord. No. Let God judge, right? My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. I don't judge my ministry. God judges my ministry. I don't judge myself in that way. God judges me. So Paul uses the word judge in many different ways in 1 Corinthians. Then he says this. Look at this. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. So this is God speaking. God speaking to us through his servant Paul. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Meaning what? Don't judge people's hearts. Don't judge people's motivations. In terms of the allegations against the leader, there must be right judgments. In other words, this is something that should be looked at. You don't receive an accusation against an elder unless with two or three witnesses. There are various procedures that should be followed. If there's an individual with a complaint, then they have to have airing for their complaint if it's a fair and righteous complaint. So we should make judgments then. In other words, a judgment should be rendered. These are true accusations as a result of which this person should not be in ministry. Or these are true accusations in which case this person should go through a restoration process. Or these are false accusations, etc. So those judgments should be made and will be made in the case at hand. But Paul is explicitly saying, when it comes to judging people's hearts or why people are motivated to do this and that, and we do this day and night on the internet. I don't trust this one. Well, they're just doing it for the money. You don't know that. If there's factual evidence, that's fine. But if it's just your opinion, zip it. Don't blame me. Blame God. Because I'll read it again. God speaking through Paul. Therefore, judge nothing. Speaking in terms of what? People's hearts, their motivation, what is hidden and unseen. You don't know, so you don't make a judgment on it. Maybe that person is weeping, and you think they're weeping in repentance, or you think they're weeping in sadness, or you think they're weeping. We don't know why until we find out, do we? This person's smiling, this person's serious. We don't know why until we find out. And so don't make a judgment superficially. Judge based on facts. Judge based on information. Make righteous judgment. Well, I discern that something's wrong with you. I'm going to post it publicly. You've got no business doing that. You might be involved in slander. You might be involved in libel. You might be involved in sinning against the servant of the Lord. If you discern something, well, like what Smith Wigglesworth said, if we think we have the gift of discernment, use it on ourselves for 6 months, and we'll never use it on anybody else again. But you have discernment, you sense something's wrong, well, then don't work with those people, don't get involved, pray for them. But just based on your discernment without factual knowledge, you don't have a business to get online, and I'll post for the world to say what your discernment is. You might be dead wrong. Maybe you were hurt by somebody who got an attitude. Maybe there's sin in your own life and it affects your discernment. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, will expose the motives of the heart. So judge based on facts, judge based on information, judge based on clear mandates of the word. There are many things we are called to judge, many things, but do it righteously, do it based on facts, not based on opinions, not based on what you feel, not based on assumptions about what is hidden. We are destroying one another. We are making a mockery of our witness to the world. You know, Jesus says in John 13 that the world will know that he sent us based on our love one for another. And you think of what in the world, you know, what we did just in the last elections. You're not saved if you don't vote for Donald Trump. You're not saved if you do vote for Donald Trump. And we're tearing each other with passion. We did the devil's work already. We did, and where the world, seeing that Jesus sent us, they thought this whole church is a mockery. We got to do better, friends. Hey, friends. Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way? Because you believe what I was saying and already felt it in your heart. Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding. And we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear. Testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father, or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, before I get back into this extended exhortation, feel free to differ with me. Phone lines are open. You can think my perspective is wrong or I'm stifling good discussion. 866-348-7884. But before I do that, friends, we are on the air for such a time as this. If you're not listening, if you're not reading what we're putting out, I do believe it is urgent and critical. I've never felt more serious about the work of God than I do these days. On the plane flying to Kansas City Saturday, I wrote one of the most urgent articles I've ever written, and we'll get into this later in the week, about the frightening, demonic, dangerous rise of Jew hatred worldwide and demonizing of Israel worldwide and saying, if we don't stand up, Jewish blood is going to be shed in our countries. If you didn't know about that article, you don't know how to access it, okay, first thing you do right now, unless you're driving, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Sign up for the emails. Take you less than 30 seconds. And then later today, click read and read this urgent warning about the danger of Jew hatred. So AskDrBrown.org. Second, if you don't have my app, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. One word, A-S-K-D-R Brown, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. Download the app and you'll have access. As soon as an article is posted on our website, you'll have it. As soon as there's a new broadcast, it'll be posted. This way you won't miss anything. So please go ahead and do that. Third, I want to urge you, join our spiritual army today. Do you trust my voice? Do you feel confident that we will not back down from controversy? Do you know that I will not disappoint you by wimping out with some type of compromise? Do you feel sure that we will address issues with knowledge, with grace, with truth, together? If so, I'm urging you to join our support team today. We have plans. I'm going to get into them a little later in the year, but very important expansion plans and even new resources and new broadcasts and new events that will be all for you on radio and online in many, many different platforms. Your funds will help us reach more people. 100% of what comes in will go right back out, 100% of it. Join our support team today without shame, without equivocation. I urge you to do it, knowing what God's called me to do and knowing that I'm helping you stand and speak and articulate things. Not just I'm a voice for you, but together you're shouting. You're out in the front lines. You're in the world you live. You're getting the message out. And I'm holding your hands up. You're holding my hands up. Together we are making a difference. Light is shining in the darkness. God is moving. Even this situation, horrifically painful, difficult, God is bringing junk up to the surface. Whether it's division in the body, whether it's sin, he's bringing it up to the surface. And that which hasn't been dealt with and repented and fixed before God and man, a lot of it is coming up. May God be glorified through it. So right now, if you want to join our team, go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click donate, monthly support, become a torchbearer. We've got books to send you immediately that will equip you and help you. Resources you can start the very moment you're connected. You'll get a letter with all the information. Here's a special code. You can access free classes, everything. Join our support team today. Together, friends, we're making a difference. That is AskDrBrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support. Okay. What about judging by fruit? Doesn't Jesus say that in Matthew 7 about false prophets, you'll know them by their fruit? Yes, yes, exactly. So there is the fruit of someone's life. If you see this person, you work with them, they're out of control, they're angry, they use all kinds of profanity, they're violent, they get in fights, you know, they're molesting people. Okay, so you see that fruit, right? So you judge by it. You work with someone, you're side by side with them, you see them controlled, disciplined, gracious, kind. That says something to you. Someone's got a family. Mom, dad, married as believers, and you meet the kids, and the kids are biting and scratching. You know, they walk into the workplace, they're biting and scratching the people working there. They're using all kinds of profanity. They're throwing they're taking a pen and trying to stab you. It's like, what is the matter with this family? That's some of the fruit. On the flip side, it's like, wow, those kids are so well-behaved. And they seem to be so respectful. And it's like, so you see fruit from there. There's the fruit of what someone teaches and preaches. You evaluate that. By all means, judge what is taught and preached based on the word. Judge a person's conduct and lifestyle over a period of years. If you get to know them, watch them, by all means, judge those things. Absolutely. And say, from what I can tell, this person is trustworthy. From what I can tell, this person is godly. From what I can tell, this person is biblically based. Absolutely. That's good, healthy judgment. It's another thing when you don't even know someone personally to say, well, I think he's motivated by this. Or you say, I'm entitled to my opinion. Yeah, and you're entitled to keep your opinion to yourself. Mm-hmm. And as I posted the other day, I've been saved 52 years now. God, in a matter of days, 52 years, God's not yet once asked me for my opinion. Just telling you the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. And here's our guideline. So before you post anything, see if it follows these guidelines, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Mm-hmm. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to the needs that it may benefit those who listen. So that's what I've sought to do and encourage others. If you want to weigh in on the situation, IHOP KC, let's weigh in with words that help one another, words that edify one another, words that help us work together against our common enemy, the devil. You say, oh, Mike really inspired me to be a man of prayer. Well, that was God working through Mike. Dr. Brown, you really helped me with this. And Pastor so-and-so really helped me with this. Any help that we give you is from the Lord. He's the one that did it. If someone's ministry helped you get closer to Jesus, then you found out they weren't really who you thought they were. Well, God used them. God worked through them anyway. God brought you closer to Jesus. The devil wants you to stop praying. The devil wants you to stop worshiping. The devil wants you to stop living a holy life. The devil wants you to throw in the towel. So you stand against him. You stand against him. We stand together against him. One more thing, and then I'm going to go to some calls. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Matthew 7, well-known passage, Matthew chapter 7. I reminded people over the weekend that the way we judge others is the way we're going to be judged. And people say, you're trying to silence it. You're trying to silence the accusers. You're trying to control the discussion. I'm quoting what Jesus said. Am I not allowed to quote what Jesus said? Is that now forbidden? Well, you're trying to muzzle. No, I'm trying to help because it comes back. If I walk around unfairly judging people, it's going to come back on me. They will unfairly judge me. Now, following Jesus, you're always going to get misunderstood. You're always going to attack. Righteousness is going to be attacked. I understand that. But to the extent you do your best to be fair towards others, due process towards others, get all your facts and information in order, to the extent that you're able to do that towards others, to that extent, it'll be done back to you as a general rule. So Jesus says, Matthew 7:1, do not judge, you too will be judged. Well, didn't I quote earlier John 7:24? Don't judge by mere outward appearances, but judge, make righteous judgments. How can he say here, don't judge? In other words, don't judge hypocritically, as we'll see. Don't judge superficially. Don't condemn. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured to against. I was just warning people online, hey, just remember that the way you judge others is the way you're going to be judged, and the measure you use on others is going to be measured against you. So unless you want people posting their opinions about your motivation or their posting opinions on how you handle your finances when they have no idea whatsoever, or what you do in your private life when they have no idea whatsoever, or things about your family, they have no idea whatsoever, and you want them posting that all over the internet, then you shouldn't post it either. And if you want to be treated fairly, treat others fairly. By all means, judge my life, judge my ministry, judge all of that based on biblical criteria. By all means, absolutely. Judge the secrets of my heart, judge the motives of my heart, judge why I do what I do. No, you don't have the right to do it. Paul says, I didn't even judge myself. God's the judge. Then Jesus says, why do you look at the speck or sawdust of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So ultimately, we do want to remove the speck, but maybe we have a log. Start there. Is there a log in my eye? Is there something giant in my eye? Let's remove that. And then now I can see more clearly. So when any of these things happen, the first thing that I do is I grieve over the potential damage done to the name of the Lord, if it's true. I grieve knowing that there are people directly hurt. Then I search my own life. I search my own heart rather than, well, it never happened to me. No, that's arrogance. That's idiocy. That's not knowing our own nature. So with that, let us go to the phones. We will start in San Diego. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, I've been encouraged greatly by many of the prophetic experiences that Mike Bickle shared over the years. And it seems to me there are four categories. Prophecies that was directed specifically to Mike's life, and prophecies that were for the greater body of Christ, prophecies that were heard directly by Mike, and the ones that were witnessed by additional people. If we find that Mike wasn't completely truthful, if we find the allegations true, how do we handle these prophetic words? Should we give them the same credibility?
Yeah, very important question, Michael. I addressed this a little bit last week. You know, what if Mike is guilty? And God knows. I don't know. God knows. So what if he's guilty? Then what about why didn't other prophets know? Were there prophets around, etc.? Question. And still, because I don't know what happened, what didn't happen, chronology, I can't answer that. But let's look at this question. What if there are all these prophecies and prophetic narrative and all that? Should we trust any of it? Well, obviously, you're going to be a little more skeptical, right? You're not going to wonder immediately, was it real? However, a prophetic gift can operate whether a person is right with God or not. In other words, that person will pay the price. There will be judgment and consequences, but the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Sometimes God can still work and still act. And sometimes he's working through some person that's really doing very, very well, and then they have a fall or failure after. So I would just evaluate everything based on how accurate is this in terms of what's happened historically. You know, the prophetic words about a prayer movement being birthed when Mike didn't even like to pray, and the Israel burden when Mike didn't even have one, and being in a certain part of the city and having a certain building when he had no interest in being there, and raising up this 24/7 house of prayer. This all happened. It's quite remarkably. So to me, those are true prophecies that came to pass. None of that's threatened. But it's only natural that you might question everything. But I'd say if things have been valid and real up to now, and Jesus has been glorified and people have been drawn to him, and a prayer movement has his birth around the world, God did that. And certainly those words seem to be absolutely true and accurate. Thank you, Michael, for the question.
Do you want to feel at your best all year round? Look no further than Trivita's Sunshine Vitamin Essential D. Who hasn't felt sluggish and run down, especially during winter months when the sun is scarce? Trivita's Essential D is the answer you've been searching for to help you through even the cloudiest of days. I'm Dr. Paul, Director of Wellness Services at Trivita, and I have a health alert. Studies have shown that vitamin D deficiency is associated with increased risk and severity of infections and hospitalization of older adults. But there's good news. The evidence has also shown that adequate vitamin D helps modulate the immune system, reducing inflammation and promoting the body's healthy defense against infections. You'll love Trivita's Essential D, because just one small gel capsule per day contains 5,000 international units of essential vitamin D. Trivita's formula is also highly absorbable because it's made of vitamin D3, which is the same form your body makes from sunshine. Join the thousands of satisfied Trivita members just like you who have already experienced the benefits of Trivita's Essential D to support their immune health, bone health, and mood. Get your 30-day supply of Essential D today.
To order Trivita's Essential D for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now, 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA, Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. Yeah, vitamin D is an essential part of my own diet, especially with my healthy eating and hardly eating any meat and things like that. With my whole lifestyle, vitamin D plays an important role, and Trivita's got an amazing vitamin D product. So check it out, 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. 100% of your first order goes to support the Line of Fire. Over a tithe of all subsequent orders go. Make sure when you call, well, when you call in, they know you're calling for Dr. Brown. So talk to them, ask them any questions, or go online, trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. That gets you the best discount and your money donated to the Line of Fire. One more verse, and we go back to the phones. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What does Paul say there? Brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians 3:1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are worldly. In Greek, it's fleshly, carnal. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You're still worldly or carnal, fleshly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? What would Paul say about the state of the church if the Corinthians were infants? We'd be barely out of the womb. Jealousy, quarreling? Just when I say, hey, listen, on my social media page, you're free to do what you want on your own page. I have no authority over anybody here. I'm not your pastor. I'm not your master. I have no authority over anybody. Whatever respect you have for me spiritually, wonderfully, but I have no authority over you. So when I say, hey, refrain from posting XYZ, it's unhelpful, and you're posting gossip and opinions about things of which you know nothing, and it's unhelpful, zip it. So I'm exhorting you as a servant of the Lord. I'm exhorting you and saying, well, whatever you do, it's not going to happen on our social media page. People flip out. Or, hey, it's our page. By God's grace, we have good platforms that reach a lot of people, and we love the participation. We thank you for it. We love it. And 99.99% of the comments I never see. I wish I had time to read everyone and interact, especially the ones attacking me on YouTube for things I don't even believe. And you know, how can you say this? Like, I don't. You actually watch the video more carefully, you'd know that. But anyway, I'd love to respond to everyone back and forth and all that in a constructive way. But when people get quarrel about, hey, no quarreling on this social media page. Oh, who gives you that? It's like, what would Paul say about our state? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? I follow Dr. Brown. I follow Pastor MacArthur. I follow Sam Storms. I follow Justin Peters. We all do it. We all do it. The goal is we want to follow Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. Thank God for Pastor MacArthur. Thank God for Justin Peters. Thank God for Sam Storms. Hopefully, thank God for me. And where we differ. But we are all seeking to follow Jesus. That's the bottom line. And here's what I know. Satan wants to divide us. God wants to unite us around the gospel. As surely as I'm sitting here, let me say it again. I know it for a fact. Satan wants to divide us. Jesus wants us united around him, around the gospel, around his cause. Let us stand together with Jesus against the devil. How about that? How about that? How about we try that? All right, let's go back to the phones. This time we go to Dakota in Chicago. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you so much. And I tuned in to the second half, so I apologize if you kind of already spoke to this, but I had a two-part question here.
Yeah.
And the first part is, you know, it seems like with things like this where, you know, drama in the church, gossip, all of us genuine believers, you know, we're called to be excited about certain things, right? We're called to be excited about, like, the return of Christ. We're called to be excited about the salvation of the lost. We're called to be excited about the unity of the body and what we experience when we gather. And yet, I was curious, the first part is if you can speak to what seems to have happened in the hearts of those who, genuine believers, are yet getting excited about drama in the church and about gossip. What has been reordered in the heart that help us understand that from a spiritual formation perspective? And then secondly is just, yeah, how can you and I, believers who grieve over that, address that without just, I mean, of course, prayer is powerful. We can sit by and pray and do our best to have self-control, but how can we challenge the hearts of those who are hurting this?
Thank you. So number one, this happens because we're babies, because we're carnal, because we're fleshly, because we're immature, because we get worked up by fleshly, earthly things, just like the world does, because we're not spiritually deep enough, because we're not walking intimately enough with God, because we're lacking in self-control. And social media has just exploded it, exacerbated it, exaggerated it, brought it all onto the surface. It's brought out the worst in so many different ways. Because it's one thing if you live across town and the only way we can talk, we don't have phones, so we have to kind of get in our horse and buggy and go meet somewhere and sit and talk face to face. There's a better chance of having thought things through and being more human and fair speaking face to face than there is that the moment I see something about anybody, there's my opinion, there's my thought, there's my just out there, right? So number one, we're just carnal, immature, and we need to grow up. It's that simple. And social media has just brought it all to the surface, because not only can I express myself instantly, I hear all kinds of things instantly. Oh, this one said this, or this one said that, or this one. I just, during the break, was looking at a comment from Carolyn Glick, American Jew, well-known journalist and leader in Israel. And she was asked to comment on an incident with some Jewish person or Israel-related person, stabbed someone or stabbed a Muslim on a college campus or something. She said nothing to comment on because there was no incident. This is a false report. It was completely false report. The report that Israel bombed a hospital in Gaza and hundreds were killed, it is 100% false. But that will live on for decades, for generations in the Islamic world and in the Jew-hating world. It will live on. Not all Muslims, especially radical Muslims. It's going to live on there, sadly, tragically. So you hear things instantly. You respond instantly. It is immaturity. It is all of our worst characteristics brought together and displayed for the whole world to see. So how do we now not let that happen to us? Well, first, in our own lives, we seek to walk in greater discipline, right? In our own lives, we seek to walk in greater maturity. In our own lives, we seek to model godly speech as much as we possibly can. That's number one. And then and I would recommend reading through Proverbs one chapter a day for maybe a whole year at least. So you read through it 11, 12 times, just as you go through it one chapter a day, 31 chapters. So a couple of months you read extra chapters, otherwise one chapter a day. And just take that in. I've done it many times in my life, read Proverbs over and over and over and over and over, because I could make so many. I'm prone to make many mistakes with my tongue and speak too soon, and not harsh, negative, judgmental things, but just speak too soon and unwisely. So I've had to read it over and over and meditate on it. And then to whatever extent you have control in any way, right? So on your social media page, that if you see people commenting in ways that are wrong, you encourage them not to. If they continue to, you delete what they say. If they get really nasty, you just block them. Say, okay, not on my page. And you might say, hey, you're free to post what you want, but on my page, coming on my platform, interacting with my friends, it's going to be a certain way. If enough of us would do that, then it would weed out the ones that are intent on speaking what they want to speak, and nobody has a right to tell them anything. And you know, we'll try to be gracious to people, but when they cross certain lines, goodbye. That's it. And if they immediately cross the line, you know, with just outright ugly slander and talking about people that I know firsthand, and they're lying about them and speak, okay, you're gone. You're not going to be using my platform to bear false witness about someone else. That's detestable in God's sight. So Dakota, that's how we handle it. And I appreciate the call. I appreciate the concern. Let us set an example of godly speech. Let us set an example of being people under control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Proverbs warns about hot-headed people. I had a terrible temper before I was saved. It's something I really had to deal with as a believer. It didn't just go away. One of the verses I meditated on, learned in Hebrew, Tov Erech Apayim Migibur Moshel Brucho Melochei Ir. Better is a patient man than a warrior. And one who rules over his spirit is better than one who takes the city. And I thought, okay, Moshel Brucho, one who rules over his spirit, I have to rule over my spirit. I have this intense, I have to rule over it. And I had to learn, Proverbs has warnings about not even associating with hot-headed people. So you say, I'm just hot-headed. Well, grow. Ask God for help. If it's that deep in counseling and ministry, it doesn't have to get delivered something. But if you're a believer, this cannot control you. We have no excuse. So ask yourself before you post. It won't hurt. Listen, it won't hurt to wait a few minutes. It won't hurt. The world does not need to know what Mike Brown has to say. This split second. Wait. Take time. All right, Lord, is this important? I'm not just talking about chit-chat, right? I'm talking about important subjects, right? Will this edify? Will this help? Will this glorify you? Is it factual? Is it accurate? Is it based on love? Based on truth? Would I want these kinds of things posted if I was on the other side of this? And you think it through. One time I was in a conflict with a brother, and many, many years ago, we went through a difficult thing. We ended up on different sides of an issue. And I sent out my email to him, lashing back. He lashed out at me. I thought, I lashed back. And I copied Nancy, blind copied her. And she said to me afterwards, yeah, we need to talk about that email before you sent it. I said, I blind copied you. I did send it. She goes, what? So put some checks, balances, step back, breathe. And let's determine that our social media pages will glorify Jesus. What a thought. What a thought. Let's go for it.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.